out. I need you to escort me." With his free hand, Sky began to turn down the gain on the machine, then stopped before he dropped it too low. With the current off, the prisoner might regain the ability to speak. He kept the juice on while he spoke. "Escort you, sir? To somewhere else in the ship?"
"No, houseman. Off ship. We're going over to the Palestine. I want you to come with me. Not too much to ask, is it?"
"I'll be in the taxi hangar in 30 minutes, sir."
"You'll be there in 15, houseman, and you'll have a taxi prepped and ready for departure." The captain inserted a phlegmatic pause. "Balcazar, out."
Sky stood staring at the bracelet for a few moments after the captain's image had blanked, wondering what was afoot. With the four remaining ships locked in what was essentially a Cold War, the kind of trip of which Balcazar spoke was extremely rare, usually planned days in advance with meticulous attention to detail. A full security escort would normally accompany any senior crew making the crossing to another ship, Sky himself staying behind to coordinate things. But this time Balcazar had given him only a few minutes' warning, and there had been no rumor of anything pending before the captain's call. 15 minutes, of which he had squandered at least one already. He snapped down the cuff of his tunic and started to leave the room. He was almost gone when he remembered that the prisoner was still plugged into the god box, his mind still bathed in electrical ecstasy. Sleek quivered again. Sky returned to the machine and adjusted the settings, so that the Dolphin had control of the electrical current stimulation. Sleek's quivering became maniacal, the creature's body thrashing against the tight constraints of the tank, enveloping his body in a manic froth of bubbles. The implants in the Dolphin's skull were able to talk to the machine now, able to make the prisoner scream in agony or gasp in the heights of joy. With Sleek, though, it was generally the former. He heard the old man wheezing and creaking his way across the floor of the hangar long before he saw him. The captain's two medical aides, Valdivia and Rengo, kept a discreet distance behind their charge, slightly crouched as they walked, monitoring his life signs on handheld readouts, their expressions of concern so profound that it looked like the old man had only minutes of life left in him. But Sky was a long way from feeling any concern over the captain's imminent demise. They had been wearing those expressions for years, and what they constituted was only a glaze of carefully maintained professionalism. Valdivia and Rengo had to give everyone the impression that the captain was almost on his deathbed, or else they would be forced to apply their not overly honed medical skills elsewhere. Which was not to say that Balcazar was exactly in the prime of life, either. The old man was sustained by a chest-girdling medical device, across which his dress tunic was tightly buttoned, giving him the plump-breasted look of a well-fed rooster. The effect was exacerbated by his comb of stiff grey hair, and the suspicious gleam of his dark, widely set eyes. Balcazar was easily the oldest of the crew, his captaincy dating back to long before Titus's time, and while it was perfectly clear that he had once had a mind like a steel trap, steering his crew through innumerable minor crises with icy skill, it was equally clear that those days were long since over, that the trap was now a rusted travesty of itself. Privately they said that his mind was nearly gone, while publicly they spoke of his infirmity and the need to hand over the reins to the younger generation. To replace him with a young or middle-aged captain now, who would be merely senior when the flotilla arrived at its destination. Wait too long, they said, and his replacement would not have time to acquire the necessary skills.